Amen. Bonjour, bienvenue. Aniche, aniche, umba. Salam alaikum, alaikum assalam. Habari, jumbo. Como está, está bem? Sawabona kunjani. Greetings from Africa and the 84 churches full of disciples whom the Son of God loves. Amen? Amen. It's great to be here in Gwinnett. I don't know. I love the church here. I do look over at Barbara there. Remember, we used to work together in the office. And by 10 o'clock in the morning, she called my study for noon and see if they could come or not, and make sure they're there. And I'd study the Bible with people over at Northside Hospital. Just about every day at noon, Barbara was awesome. Reached out to our patients, prayed for them. It's incredible to be here. I just really appreciate what the church here has done. I know that you've given a lot. You've sacrificed a lot. I work very closely with the church in Abidjan. I talk to them all the time. In 3 weeks, I will be in Abidjan at church. We just met with some of the African leaders. I think Steve Galbraith was there. We met just a week or two ago with the African leaders. I'll be going to Johannesburg on Friday. I'll be spending time with the country directors of Hope Worldwide from around Africa. Then I'll be going to Abidjan, where we'll talk some about Ebola and some about the work there. God's doing incredible things. But I want to thank you, thank you, thank you for all you've done for the poor and those in need, especially the children of Africa. Amen?
Amen.
And you guys deserve applause. Not the work there. You guys deserve clap for yourselves. It's great to have little children here. We're going to talk about little children today. Ava's right there, right? Yep. I was talking, folks, here it is. It's great to be with the little children and talk about a number of things we're going to talk about today. Yep, that's little children. That's what we're going to talk about. I want to talk for a minute. I want to thank you, but what I want to do is I want to bring you to Africa. I want you to see what you have been doing here. We're still working with orphans. The Ebola crisis is gotten better in Liberia. It's gotten worse in Guinea and Sierra Leone. There have been 3 disciples who've died already. We're dealing with orphans now due to Ebola. And so we need to continue helping with the Ebola crisis, which we're doing. We need to continue helping with the orphan crisis because it's going to get worse due to Ebola. And some of you know that last year our Coca-Cola grant came to an end after about 6-7 years. We were able to replace some of that money with our walkathon, some other donors. But your donations and your help is critical to the work. So hope and pray we continue working together very closely and expand, actually, a lot of our work here in Atlanta. But let me bring you to Africa, and I'm going to show you what you've been doing. Let's see if we can turn the lights down. Let's see if we can play the video.
It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men.
As the sun rises over the informal settlement of Deep Sloot, South Africa, parents on their way to work bid farewell to their children at the doors of daycare facilities like this one. They have little choice. They must go to work in the city, and it is far from safe for their children on the streets of the settlement. While many of us take for granted the day-to-day essentials that build a healthy child in body, mind, and soul, the people of Deep Sloot survive under harsh conditions. It is the goal of faith-based organization Hope Worldwide to help their children not only to survive, but to thrive. Lack of infrastructure, poor living conditions, violence, substance abuse, shortage of jobs, and inadequate education. All of these permeate the daily existence of the people of Deep Sloot and exert crushing pressure on all who live here, not least the children. Hope Worldwide is a global organization focusing on healthcare and social services to the world's poorest and most vulnerable citizens. From children orphaned by HIV/AIDS to those in need of medication for diabetes, from the destitute and starving to those who thirst for education, individuals, families, communities. Hope Worldwide endeavors to provide long-term solutions that truly empower. Based on the research of prestigious institutions such as Harvard University, Hope Worldwide understands that the stress that adults and children endure in poverty-stricken communities negatively impacts vital brain development, their ability to form relationships, and their emotional wellness, which in turn impacts their ability to learn. And because of this realization that the early investment in education is vital, a focus on early childhood development has become a priority in Diepsloot and in 7 other poverty-stricken areas across South Africa. Because of the commitment and investment of Hope Worldwide, beacons of hope now shine through the darkness of the settlements and slums, inviting families to receive and provide the nurturing that their children need. Now parents can leave their children securely in caring hands, knowing that they're receiving the best care possible in this community.
Hope Worldwide helped me with the food. I have toys. And then a lot of things. I have the structure. Now I have the toilets. I have the kitchen. I have food for my children. I have activities. Hope Worldwide take me to school. Today I can say I'm the principal, because now I know what can I do. And then my 2 teachers that are going to school, they helped me now.
They paid for one of my practitioners to go and do NQF level 4. Hope paid for them so that they know their job.
Dedicated people like these understand that by the time a child is 3 years old, 90% of their brain has been developed, and they work every day to make sure that these children have a safe and nurturing environment in which to learn and play for the day. But without the help of organizations like Hope Worldwide, facilities like these would lack many of the vital skills and tools that it takes to build a successful early childhood development environment, one that is child-centered, family-focused, and community-based.
We have learned that when children thrive, communities thrive and countries thrive.
That's a pretty cool video, isn't it? I think I'm going to move this over here just to kind of work right off the slides. That video was put together by Coca-Cola. And so that's why it's pretty cool. But I just want to show it to you because I want to show you what you've been doing. You see, now we've addressed a lot of the needs of orphans, about 172,000 in 8 African countries. Doesn't talk about that there, the total number, but that's what you've done. And so now, as the epidemic increases, and the needs increase, we're still addressing the needs, but we're focusing on little children. These are children 0 to 6, little bitty children. And with those children, we can certainly have the most impact. And so our model was developed in South Africa. It addresses the needs of little children that are orphans and vulnerable children. It addresses especially the first 1,000 days of life. It has a tremendous impact. All that's well-proven scientifically. It's evidence-based on their lives. Crime goes down. Education goes up. Productivity goes up. The risk of them being on the street goes down. I mean, it just radically changes their lives if we address it early. And of course, that's what you do with your children, don't you? You read a book to them. You play a game with them. You take them out and kick the soccer ball. And you make sure they get immunized and they eat right and they eat their vegetables and things like that. This is what that's all about, helping these little children start well and do well, and if they do, they'll do awesome. They'll get into school. That's probably the single biggest factor of their productivity and livelihood, is how long they stay in school, and this program helps them to start and do well in school. Now look at this. So far, we've reached 20,000 little children. You've already done that. And what we want to do is, sorry if I'm standing in the way of you guys over here. I realize I'm still kind of in your way a little bit. But what we want to do is scale that up, amen, across 8 African countries. And so I'm going to talk today about two groups of people I love the most. The first is little children. And so you've seen the video. We've talked about some of the needs. These programs are going to scale up. We're tracking the little children. We're tracking their progress as they start school. We're intervening at all these different levels. The bad news is that all the negatives are cumulatively bad. if you ignore and neglect the little children, abuse the little children in different ways. The good news is the good things we do are cumulatively good. And if we immunize them and provide a book and some reading and some soccer and good nutrition, they can do awesome. Amen? Now, all of us can be involved in this. This was Athens. We just had that last Sunday. I know you guys have an International Sunday coming up. We're increasing the awareness everywhere. I have a compassion tour. That's in June. And that's executives and business people that want to help us mobilize resources. We're having about a dozen people come out in June to South Africa to see and get involved in these programs. We're going to have our walk-a-thon again. Amen? Superheroes for Orphans. I'll describe a little bit of that in a second. September 19th at Georgia Tech. And then we're going to bring a big group of singles. I see some young people right in here. You look like students, okay? I know you got singles here too, but we're going to have those come in November. And we're going to do a singles corps helping the poor. And then we're going to have the weekend following a big Southern Africa singles conference. Probably 500 singles from southern eight African countries are going to come together. They've never had that ever before. And we're going to bring a team of people with us to help invigorate and excite and rejuvenate the singles ministry in Southern Africa. It's really exciting. One of the things I love the most is that we can be teaching and preaching and helping and healing together. And so when Lynn and I travel, Lynn sends her love, Lynn Beatty Ottenweller, my wife, amen. We also have six kids, so pray for us, okay? Yeah, I'm a little bit sunburned today because I went to a baseball game yesterday in the afternoon, blazing hot, sitting out in the sun, because our youngest is 19, and she's recently started dating. This was her boyfriend's baseball game. So that's why I went to the baseball game. Help them out a little bit. But we're working with campus ministry in Southern Africa. We're doing leadership training of elders around Africa. We're working with the singles that we described. We're helping the Abidjan Church a lot, and I'll be doing that in the next few weeks. And so thank you for all your help. And we're also, to let you know, we're also helping the churches a lot. Now, how do we know that children are important to God, and what do we know about them? Jesus says, their angels always see the face of my Father in heaven. Why would that be? Why would a little child, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 years old, be so important that God assigns his angels to watch over them and always see the face of God at the same time? Because these little children are critical, whether you're in a tent in Haiti or in a shack in Africa, those little children are critical to us spiritually. And so often we don't really think about that. Because he's hidden these things from the wise and learned and made them known to little children. There are things you can't learn at Harvard or Yale at Emory. You have to learn from little children. There are teachers. That's why we can't abuse them. That's why we can't neglect them. That's why I got to take care of them. Because no matter who you are or where you are, your little children are trying to help you. They're trying to help us get to God. Jesus said, not only do we not neglect them or abuse them, he said, you bring those kids to me. I think you need a little encouragement, okay? Bring those little kids to me because I need that encouragement. I need all that they're going to help me with. In fact, he says, unless you change and become as a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom. There are teachers. We can't abuse them or neglect them, amen? They're going to teach us some things about how to get to God and how to have the heart of a little child, amen? So your little children are precious right there. I see you guys, okay? You are precious, important to God. Because you're going to help all of us go to heaven. Amen. The kingdom of heaven belongs to little children. I don't know what that means exactly. Do they stand there at the gate? These little children were helping and say, come on in, Dr. Mark. Someplace in Africa, they named their little children after me. So I have little children named Dr. Mark. You know, so maybe someday when I die, they'll be standing there at the gate going, Dr. Mark, come on in. I'll say, hey, Dr. Mark, how you doing? Good, Dr. Mark. I don't know. I mean, but it belongs to them. And of course, what we need to do is speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And this is something over the next 3 or 4 months we can all do. We can all do this. Every one of us can speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Every one of us can become an advocate. We can become a promoter. We can become someone to inspire our friends and neighbors, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And we can speak up for those children. Right now in Africa, poor, neglected, abused, living in the streets. You know, some of those places we just showed, we cleaned those up and painted them and made them nice. They looked pretty nice, didn't they? They had rats running through those places when we got there. They had garbage in those places. You know what they did for a toilet? You saw the toilets? I don't know if you didn't realize that. I was really so, the thing I'm most proud of is the toilets. Do you know what they were before we got there? They were a bucket sitting on the floor. Imagine little kids going to the bathroom on a bucket. And what happens to that? That's what they were like. And so, man, we got to speak up for those kids. Amen? And I think God's desire, and I talked to the president of Liberia about this, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, that I think God wants us to help these little children rise up and become oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for display of his splendor. That's all brought about by God's Spirit. And so when I go out to help the poor, it's like when I go out to share my faith, I pray, God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit to reach out and meet the needs of the lost and my friends and neighbors. But also fill me with your Spirit. Fill the church here in Gwinnett with your Spirit so we can meet the needs of the poor and bind up the brokenhearted and comfort those who mourn, provide for those who grieve in Zion, and bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, garment of praise instead of spirit of despair. And all these millions of little children can rise up and become oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Amen? Pray about that in your own life. The lost and the needs are all there. What do we need? We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? In our daily lives. I pray that every day. God, fill me with your Spirit today. Fill us with the Spirit here as we meet the needs of the poor. Fill us with our Spirit as we reach out to people for International Sunday. Amen? Now I'm going to talk about the walkathon. This is another group I'm really excited about, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But we have the children in their needs. But guess what we have? We have some people that really want to meet those needs. Do you know who they are? They're your neighbors. That's why I was so excited. The most inspiring thing that happened this morning was hearing Steve Collier talk about his neighbors. That inspired me. That inspired me personally. Because that's what we all need to be doing, amen? God has chosen our neighbors to help us. And so the walkathon's an example of something we can do about that. I'm going to show you two things quickly. One is our awesome t-shirts. Amen. If you ain't got one of these, you can get one today. Okay? We got them for adults and kids. We're going to sell them for $10. We're going to recoup some of the cost. But you can use these when you talk to your friends and neighbors. And we'll use them when we do our walkathon. Amen. Let me put that up here. The second thing we have today is pretty cool too. We have our ushers ready. Are they back there? Okay. This is a brochure. It's brand new. We just made them. But this is a corporate brochure. And what is this for? This is for you to take to work. This is for you to take to your business. This is for you to take to Delta or to Coca-Cola or to Kimberly-Clark and say, look, we need to get involved in this. So the ushers have some. You can raise your hand if you work for a corporation or a business, you'd like a couple copies. Just raise your hand and they'll hand them out. Amen? But this is happening September 19th. This is a beautiful corporate brochure with our logos and information on it. 9 o'clock in the morning at Georgia Tech. It's going to be a 5K walk. We're going to raise money. Last year we raised about $80,000. And the money we lost from Coca-Cola we replaced with superheroes. Amen? That's Vicki Jacoby and Pam Whitney. Vicki Jacoby is Mary Poppins. I said, Vicki, I don't think Mary Poppins is a superhero. And she said, but she can fly. And I said, okay, she flies. Okay. Okay, she flies. I guess she'll qualify. But those who were there had a great time. Amen? And we're going to do it again this year. And the goal is not only for us to raise money for orphans, and we're going to ask every person to try to raise about $100, but our goal is for you to bring your friends and neighbors. My goal is to reach out to 20 of my neighbors. 20. And get to know them by name. That's my goal. And so we've had a number of great things. I've had some parties and dinners in our neighborhood. We've had 30, 40 of our neighbors come out to different things. I learned something last year. You know what I learned? You ready for this? I learned this last year. I've got awesome neighbors. I didn't know that. You know how much money they gave me last year, my neighbors? They gave me $800. my neighbors. They are putting checks in the mailbox, dragging me down on the street, calling me on the telephone. Dr. Mark, we want to help. We'll help those children in Africa you work with. Those are my neighbors. And so the other group that I love talking about, not only are children, I love talking about my neighbors. You've got neighbors just like that. Are you guys in school over here? Looks like young people right there. Are you guys in high school, college? Where's this group right here? High school. You've got classmates like this. I travel all around the world. I see young people. They're not getting drunk and doing crazy things like they do in movies. They're helping the poor. They're making a difference. They're having a huge impact. I've been so impressed by the young people. But at your school, at your university, at your workplace, at your neighborhood, you've got some incredible people. And they may not want to read the Bible right away. They may not come to church right away. But they want to help the poor and those in need. And when you knock on their door, you talk to them, I'm telling you, they're going to fall down and worship God. It's just another great way to reach out to people like Jesus did. And so our goal is to have about 1,200 volunteers. I think we had about 100 for here from Gwinnett. This year we ought to have 200. Amen? And we're going to support especially the smaller programs in Mozambique and Zimbabwe, the regional office, especially early childhood development. Amen? This will have a huge impact. And of course, we get a lot of people in Atlanta involved. We got t-shirts. Later we'll have fundraising packets. We'll give you those about July, June, July. And of course, today I've given you some corporate brochures. Use them. Take them. See what kind of impact. We had people whose bosses walked through their office, saw something about the walkathon, and gave $100 right on the spot. And I'm sure we get businesses involved in a much bigger way. Amen? Thank you very much. What's your name? What's that boy's name? Chandler? You're the man, okay? I need you, okay? If you'll just do one thing for me. The only request I'm going to have today is, of course, hand out the corporate brochures, is have the little children pray for me. If Chandler will pray for me every day, everything will be fine. It'll all work out. It's all going to work out. This is my son-in-law, Iron Man, my daughter, Thor, and my two grandchildren, Captain America and the Hulk, okay? So we have a pretty cool family. But I want to talk a minute about neighbors. The Bible in Leviticus 19:18 says, love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what's wild about that is that it's talking about don't steal their cows and don't burn down their house and don't kill your neighbor. Because there's a lot of trouble we have with our neighbors in general, okay? There's 141 scriptures that use the word neighbor. 141. That's why I was impressed by Steve Collier this morning. Because that's what God impresses God, is our neighbors. And in the midst of all these scriptures, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. How many of us love our neighbors? That's great, that's great. We're going to work on that, okay? What does it take? First of all, you got to get to know their names. They all have names. They have jobs. They have hobbies. They have children. They have things. They have needs. All your neighbors have needs. I didn't know that until I really started getting to know my neighbors. One of them falls down on the floor in panic attacks. One of them, 5-year-old kid, hits his head against a concrete wall. Those are my neighbors. They've got needs. They've got needs. So do your neighbors. So do your classmates and people that work with you. But God's desire, listen to this now. God's desire is you would love your neighbors. That's radical. As yourself. We love vacations, don't we? Summer's coming up. We love nice cars. We love nice televisions. We love to have fun, do nice things. God wants that exact same thing for our neighbors. He says, you got to love your neighbors as yourself. A teacher of the law recognized that right away. Jesus talks about that as the second greatest command. Love that neighbor. I don't know whether it's Sam, Bob, Tom, Mary, Sally, but you love them as yourself. That's a high calling, isn't it? This is a story about that. It's in Luke chapter 10. It's a story of the Good Samaritan. And of course, leading up to this, a man asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, what is written in the law? How do you read it? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Of course, we talked about that this morning already, sang about it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, your heart, you know, does not belong to a football team, okay? Your heart doesn't belong to the stock market, okay? Your heart doesn't belong to your job. Your heart doesn't belong to even someone you kind of fall in love with, okay? Your heart belongs to God. That's where our heart belongs. Our minds, our souls, our strength. Our souls, they don't belong to some preacher or some weird cult or some oddball weird teaching. Some, you know, interesting intellectual thing. Our souls belong to God. We need to give Him all of our soul and all of our strength. Got a lot of young people here. You guys are strong, man. You guys are young and powerful. Have great things ahead of you. Your strength doesn't belong to work. It belongs to God. And your mind doesn't belong to the internet. Doesn't belong to Facebook. Doesn't belong to all these different things going on around us. Your mind belongs to God. Let's give our minds, our heart, soul, and strength to God. Amen? And then he says, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, the guy gets a little nervous, doesn't he? He says, who is my neighbor? Well, all of us have neighbors, right? Okay. Pretty silly question. Who is my neighbor? They live across the street, behind me, each side, right? Don't y'all have neighbors? Does everybody here have neighbors? Isn't that right? Yeah, we all have neighbors. Okay. Jesus said a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was attacked by robbers. Now, what was the guy doing going down the road? That was kind of a dangerous road. There are little places along that road even to this day. I forget, it's like 14, 15 miles. I can't remember exactly. But he walked down. These guys attacked him. Maybe it was dark. Maybe he was alone. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. Maybe he had broken bones. Maybe he had bad cuts and bruises. Maybe he was knocked unconscious. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Why? Why would a guy pass by? Maybe he was busy. Maybe he had some appointments. Maybe he had business to do. Maybe he was afraid of not getting in the temple because if he touched the guy and the guy was dead, he'd be unclean, etc., etc. But he passed by. So did a Levite. Came to the same place. Saw the guy. He's laying right there. Said, I'm going to go on the other side of the road. I don't want to go near that guy. But then a Samaritan, we don't even know his name. A stranger, a guy who worshiped different sorts of gods and kind of a half-breed, so to speak, spiritually. He came by and saw the man. Now listen to this. I'm going to tell you something truthfully now. I've seen Muslims and Hindus and all kinds of religious people with more compassion than Christians. I've seen them. Here was a man like that. He wasn't Jewish. These people couldn't relate to him. They thought they were the chosen people. God said, I'll show you a man who has real compassion. And so we need to imitate people around us that may not believe in what we believe. But God's using them to teach us something. How we should be reaching out and meeting the needs and helping people. That's what he did here. He came to where the man was. He saw him. It says he took pity on him. Went to him. Bandaged his wounds. Maybe he used his own clothes. His own linens. To wrap up the guy's wounds. To clean them off. His own shirt. His own towel. He poured on wine and vinegar. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Now here's the guys go down the road. It's dangerous, remember? He could get attacked, right? Guys are still out there, probably. But he takes a risk. He puts a guy on his donkey. He walks, right? The guy's on his donkey. They get to an inn, okay? And they took care of him. Where does he put the man? In his bed. See that? He puts him on his donkey, gives him his clothes, puts him in his bed, and he took care of him. And then he says, he gave 2 denarii. That's 2 days' wages. Let's say in the United States, a day's wage is $50. He gave him $100. Here's $100. Take care of this guy. Total stranger. How many of us have given $100 to a total stranger? That's what he does. $100. Guy he doesn't know. Stranger. And said to the innkeeper, look after him. He said, when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. He says, here's $100. If you need any more, I'll pay it. Don't worry. Wow. This is an incredible guy. I want to highlight 3 things about him. And of course, he sacrifices. He gives of his own. He gives of his own time and money and other resources. Amen. He meets the man's needs. But there are three specific things I want to talk about. And it's listed in the passage. I want to talk about pity. It says in verse 33, when he saw the man, he took pity on him. What does pity mean? It means empathy. It means sorrow. It means his heart went out to the man. He said, oh my gosh, maybe he has a wife and children. Maybe they don't even know he's here, hurt by the side of the road. What are they going to think? What's going to happen? Maybe he looks like someone in my... what if he was my brother? What if I was on the side of the road? Who would help me? That's what the man was thinking. He wasn't thinking about, ooh, I got so much money. Ooh, what's going to happen to me? Oh, my time, I'm kind of busy. I'm a professional. I don't have time to help people. He wasn't thinking that, was he? His heart went out to the man. What keeps our hearts from going out to people? Let's just be honest for a minute. Look what I wrote up there. In my life, it's self-pity. Instead of feeling sorry for other people, who am I feeling sorry for? Myself. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, life's so hard. Oh, you know, the traffic's so bad. Oh, I'm having trouble with my nice car. Oh, you know, oh, it's a hard life. That's what I think. And I start worrying about myself. And listen, 7 years ago, I lost my wife. We were married 31 years. The biggest challenge I faced was self-pity. I'd be riding down the road. This is to tell you my own life. I'd be riding down the road. I'd lost my wife. I felt terrible. And I'd see some bar on the side of the road, and I'd think, man, I could pull right in there, have a couple drinks. I'd feel better right away. Maybe even talk to some woman. Oh, wow. And I thought, you know, that's stupid. I'm just feeling sorry for myself. But that's the enemy. Instead of feeling sorry for people, we feel sorry for ourselves. And so you can read about Elijah, he struggled with that. You can read about Moses, he struggled with that. You can read about David, he struggled with that. You can see even Jesus facing that in the Garden of Gethsemane. But we need to realize sometimes we're just feeling sorry for ourselves. And we need to start feeling sorry for other people. Amen?
Amen.
Ooh, the second one is even deeper. It says, which one was a neighbor? Jesus said, the one who had mercy on him. Who was the neighbor? The guy who had mercy. Mercy. We used to ride around Soweto. It was Moketi, Marvin, and Mark. Moketi Shabalala was a guy who worked for us. He was the song leader, the number one song leader for a whole Johannesburg church. Mark was me, and Marvin was Marvin Gaye. And so we'd ride around Soweto singing Marvin Gaye songs. Moketi, Marvin, and Mark. Mercy, mercy me. That's what we'd say. Sometimes we look down on people. Maybe they've had a drug or alcohol problem. Maybe they've had a hard life. Maybe they've been through some tough things. And we just look down on them. Rather than realizing in the same situation, we'd probably be the same place. The Bible says we need to have mercy. We need to have a forgiving heart, an accepting heart, an unassuming heart, a heart that just says, look, here's someone in need. I don't care how they got that way. It doesn't really matter. They're in tough shape. The Bible says we're not to judge people, we're to help people. God desires mercy, not sacrifice. There's probably 50 scriptures in the Bible on mercy. God delights in mercy. We need to show mercy. We need to be full of mercy. The man had mercy on the man. He didn't care at all how he got that way. He just said, man, I'm going to help this guy. It doesn't matter how he got that way. That's not even the point. But sometimes we're just self-righteous. Maybe that was the Levite and the high priest. Maybe they just thought they were better than this man. Sometimes we can feel that way, especially when we meet people in need, especially when people really have struggles around us. The last thing he says at the beginning is to love your neighbor. And of course, a lot of times we do stuff for ourselves and we're sort of self-reliant and self-focused and self-pity. There's so many things that relate to just selfishness. Self-indulgent. We need to really learn how to love our neighbors. And I hope and pray that you'll pray every day. God, help me to love my neighbors. Help me to have pity on them. Help me to really have mercy on them. Help me to really be like this man. And I hope and pray someday in my own life, you know, that But maybe when I die and on my tombstone, it'll say, Mark Ottenweller, he loved his neighbors. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Just because that's what's been on God's heart all these thousands and thousands of years, is that I would just love my neighbors. Or maybe that Mark Ottenweller, he got his neighbors to help his children. I don't know. Or to help God's children. But we can be praying about the children. We need to meet their needs. There are 16 million orphans in Africa right now. Just pray for them every day. Get your children together. Get a little picture. Get a little map of Africa. Pray for them every day. Amen? The children. And then let's get our neighbors together, right? Let's love our neighbors enough to help them get involved with the children that we're going to serve. And I'm just telling you, God can do amazing, amazing things. We have some people now coming out to church and to Bible study, some of our neighbors. You know, we just baptized a guy, a doctor and a nurse, like Lynn and I. His specialty, internal medicine. My specialty, internal medicine. He has three kids, two little girls and a little boy, just like I had. He studied and went to some of the same places I went to. The biggest honor he gave me during the studies, he said, Mark, we have one other thing in common. We're both African. Last Sunday, he and his wife were baptized into Christ. They're awesome. I'm just telling you, they're awesome. But I want you to know that, to me, I hope you follow us on Facebook and on our website. Just keep up with some of the stuff going on, and you can get pictures of things to pray about. But to me, honestly, to the little children I serve, you are heroes. And you're having a huge difference in their little bitty lives. And so I want to thank you this morning for being superheroes. Thank you very much.
Well, we've heard a great sermon. We've had been brought to the foot of the cross. We've had a great Bible lesson today. In view of the lesson that we heard, I can only offer this prayer from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Father God, receive our prayer. We pray in the name of Jesus, and amen. You are dismissed.